This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. It is 46 minutes past 7. I'm Chuang, joined by Sharit Abdullah and Lin Mark. Now, in about 20 minutes or so, Lin Mark, you will be talking to Invest Penang's head honcho, Dato Lu Li Lien. All else, what is it all about?
So Invest Penang is the Penang, a non-profit entity of the Penang state government, right? So they're tasked with bringing in investments, both local and foreign, into the state. So I ask Dato' Lu Li Lien on how they're going to transform the fortunes of Penang. So what are their objectives to sustain and even rejuvenate Penang's economy?
And of course, the electronics industry is in a bit of a trough at this point in time. Mm-hmm. So some investments have actually been pulling out from the state. It's really all about the next stage of the island states. Blueprint. I'm very interested in that because I am from there. Okay, very much.
Really?
Lin speaks to Li Lien. Yeah, of course I will. Open secret. Not a secret. Yes, so very much in the same vein as competitiveness. We've got this issue coming out from the Ministry of International Trade, officially announcing that a new open AP policy has been implemented with effect from January the 1st. Now, if you don't know, the approved permit policy is something that emanated from MITI many years ago under the auspices of Tan Sri Rafida Aziz. It allows qualified Bumi Putra entrepreneurs to bring in reconditioned vehicles from foreign markets into the Malaysian space. And basically, it was one way to invigorate Bumi Putra participation in the automotive industry. Had its big bets, most notably that it distorted the vehicle industry, it impaired the national car policy, and it artificially drove up prices of cars. Now, as opposed to maybe even curtailing or seeing its termination, the government now is saying that the open AP policy has been, restructured, and under the new policy, there is no limit to the overall number of APs to be released throughout the year, and companies may apply for additional APs based on their sales performance.
Yeah, so MITI has said that at the moment, most of the new companies are still not fully in operation as they need to still fulfill some technical requirements and be prepared for business operational matters. When an offer was made from May 23rd to June 21st of 2016, the ministry said that they received nearly 300 applications underneath this new system. And of this number, about 160 were found to be qualified, 128 existing companies and 36 new.
So, okay, MITI has said that the implementation of this new policy is in line with the government's decision on the December 23rd, 2015 to continue the policy with some improvements, including providing opportunities to new Bumi Putra entrepreneurs. Now, what I can remember about AP and when you spoke about competitiveness, one thing about AP is that they sort of did artificially create a company. For example, the thing that could come out of my head was NASA. I mean, started off with an AP to sell cars and now venturing into other businesses, for an example, even property. And I don't know whether or not this is a right move again.
The whole AP policy system really enriched a lot of individuals, and I think specific individuals. So the NASA head boss, Tan Sri Nazimuddin, and then you had Westar, the Tan Sri over there, so Tan Sri side, if I remember correctly. But it didn't create a broad swath of entrepreneurs. It really centralized wealth in just a few hands. And of course, obviously, the whole economic imbalances with pricing and all that as well. So really, the issue is really, why is Malaysia going through it and extending the open AP policy when in fact we should be looking at a roadmap to closing it off? And now rumours from the car journalism world that some of the open AP holders are not actually importing their vehicles themselves as required under the policy, but selling all those APs for as much as 22,000 ringgit per AP. Now, this goes counter to the APs, to the system's objectives. And I remember late last year, when I spoke to the Deputy Trade Minister, Dr. Ong Kian Ming, he said that what they want to do within the ministry is to not allow abuse of the AP policy, and they would look at it in terms of restructuring to become more beneficial to the country. Now, I don't know whether this whole AP approach is really to appease the political brickbats that have occurred as a result of the new UMNO PAS alliance, but business and sometimes politics, they don't mix well. And
it's how are they going to restructure it? How are you going to ensure that it promotes competitiveness in the market? There's only so much that you can say without giving us details. If you leave us to fill in the blanks, the fact is, we're dubious, I think, as a general public, because this very much feels like a symptom of a much larger systemic issue here in Malaysia. I mean, today we've been talking about privatization of Malaysia Airlines. You know, we've been talking about the new Malay economic policy. So the announcement of this of the new AP system, it just feels like more in that vein of depressing competitiveness rather than encouraging it.
It's also the industry that we're speaking about here. Again, like you mentioned, I think it just makes the government sound not really that coherent with regards to policy. One side, you want to develop a new car, you already have two sort of national cars with one is just a rebranded car to a Malaysian car company. So, and then now you want to introduce the AP. So again, it's just a matter of, you know, what's the way forward here? And it's...
Yeah, I mean, look, we've got two national cars already. We've got Perodua and then we've got Proton. And Proton is doing quite well. And now we're going to have a third national car. Within a matter of months, by the end of this year, for sure, some kind of blueprint will emerge. So you've got three national cars for a population of basically 31 million people. And then now you want an open AP policy where there's going to be unlimited APs. And I think there's going to be about another 30 new AP holders within this whole space. So I think the total number of AP holders would be something like 160 entities, right? Bumi Putra qualified entities. Do you want a third national car? Do you want your roads to be flooded with vehicles? What is your policy towards vehicle end-of-life policies? What is it going to do in terms of car prices? So many questions, so little answers, and not enough clarity. And I think, Lin Mark, you're right. We need more policy direction, not knee-jerk reactions to political developments within the space. We've got 400 bit years, right? Let's go through with policy. Okay, what else is going on? Well, we've got Malaysian Airlines, and really, again, about competitiveness, the whole debate on whether Malaysia Airlines should be shuttered or not. The finance minister talking about that there has been no decision yet on whether to shutter the national airline.
Yeah, and you know, with regards to Malaysian Airlines, yesterday we did have a poll, and it suggested that about 2,700 people took part in it, and 80% saying keep it, and people do want it to be around, and 14% saying sell it. But you know, I guess nobody wants it away, isn't it? Nobody wants it to do away with Malaysian Airlines.
Now, the Ministry of International Trade and Industry, MITI, officially announced that a new open AP approved permit policy has been implemented with effect from January 1st of this year. Under the new policy, there is no limit to the overall number of APs to be released throughout the year, and companies may apply for additional APs based on the sales performance. MITI said that at the moment, most of the new companies are still not fully in operation, and according to the news, 164 companies, Bumi Putra companies, have been qualified after an audit. 128 were existing companies and 36 were new. Now, to shed light on this policy, we've got on the line with us the Deputy International Trade Minister, YB Dr. Ong Kian Ming, on the line with us. Now, YB, thank you for joining us. Now, thank you for joining us. Now, let's begin with the policy. And our question really is, why is the government continuing a policy that has not only just created pricing imbalances within the vehicle industry, but also threatened our domestic vehicle manufacturing businesses in the context of the third national car that's been announced?
Okay, a couple of points to note. Firstly, in the Pakatan Harapan Manifesto, the AP policy was never mentioned, and it has not been Pakatan Harapan's official position to abolish the AP policy. Secondly, just for your information, for the information of your listeners, the number of APs issued over the past couple of years has been less than 30,000, whereas the total volume of car sales in terms of vehicles has been more than 500,000. So the number of APs is actually less than 6% of the total sales of cars. So to say that the AP policy would affect the automotive sector in Malaysia, I think it's not very accurate. And the APs are mostly restricted to higher-end cars, and this would be mostly for the higher end of the consumer market, the rich people, basically. And the cost for each one of these APs is actually, 10,000 ringgit. So I don't think it's a very, very big, impediment in terms of affecting the larger automotive sector. So those are the points I want to make.
Yeah, good point, YB. But the government continues to operate a policy which is counterintuitive given the country's domestic manufacturing ambitions. Why do you continue to enforce and allow this policy to continue?
I think the focus I want to have is to say that we want to improve the allocation of the AP's process. And I think what you've missed is the fact that out of 300 applications that MITI received, this was way back in 2016, when the applications were open, only 164 companies were selected to be qualified. And this is because of the very stringent conditions that we put in place in terms of implementing this policy after the general election in 2018. And this includes necessitating that companies have enough financial backing. They have a track record of at least 2 years. They also need to have demonstrate that they have showrooms. So all these stringent requirements and audits were undertaken by MITI so that the companies who were basically trying to sell off APs to other companies were not allowed to participate in this particular process. So I think the transparency condition is something that needs to be emphasized. I also want to mention something that wasn't mentioned in the press release. Even though the press release said there's no limit to the number of APs to be issued, the process is that for the new companies, the 36 new companies that were given these APs, they are limited to a maximum of 60 APs for the first year. Right. This is to ensure that they are able to maximize and utilize and sell cars based on 60 APs that they receive in the first year. And if, let's say, they do qualify, they can move up up to a total of 240 APs when their paid-up capital reaches 4 million and they have established a good record. So you can see, even, let's say, among the AP companies, there's a limit in terms of the number of APs that they can be issued per company.
YB, you also underlined the stringent practices in the AP application process, but how then do you address rumours of Alibaba practices where AP holders sell their permits for up to 22,000 ringgit per AP?
MITI welcomes all complaints or feedback regarding this particular issue. So if, let's say, people out there know of such Alibaba companies, they can either call or they can email these kinds of allegations to ap@miti.gov.my, and we will do the proper investigation. I think it's very hard for us to respond to hearsay and these kind of allegations without actual proof, actual identification of the companies involved. So we are very happy to take on the investigation as and when we get details of such abuses of this particular system. And to note, the press release also said that MITI has blacklisted 9 existing companies for offences relating to not complying with the conditions that were stated in the press release, including allegations that have been found to be true of companies that sell on these APs to other companies that are not qualified.
YB, is this part of one of the government's knee-jerk reaction to the fast-shifting political landscape after having lost that the 2 by-election in the, especially with the marriage of UMNO and PAS union?
I think that accusation or that usage of the word knee-jerk is does not apply to this particular policy, because once I assume my position as a deputy minister at MITI, we were already given briefings about this particular policy. This was way back in last year. So the implementation was carried out on a very careful basis. It was carried out and launched only on the 1st of January in 2019 after careful consideration, and this was before the 2 by-elections. And if, let's say, you are interested to know which companies have been given the EPs, MITI has also put the list of all the companies, all these 164 companies, on our website. So if, let's say, you feel that any of them don't deserve to be given this AP in the sense that they don't have showrooms or they haven't followed the conditions that have been stated in the press release, feel free to send your complaints to the email address that I stated just now.
But why YB, how, if at all, will these APs help the B40 group?
No, the APs are not meant for the B40. Like as I said before, the APs are basically import permits for high end cars. You know? So in terms of the automotive sector for the mass market, these are covered by other policies in MITI. And what we want to do is to continue to expand our manufacturing capabilities at the local level. We want to give incentives for local manufacturing to take place. This would also result in the lessening of excise duties, and that would act as an incentive to decrease car prices on the part of car manufacturers for the mass market. So please, separate the issue of the EP from the mass market, which is includes the B40.
Yeah, well, they're one and the same, because by allowing APs to exist and allowing luxury cars to be brought in by AP holders, doesn't this thwart the attractiveness of Malaysia as a manufacturing destination for companies like BMW, Mercedes, Lexus, for example? Why would they come in and manufacture here when they've got AP holders bringing in parallel imports of grey market?
That is a completely false accusation. It is totally nonsensical, because Mercedes and BMW are already doing CKD cars. These are for cars which are higher volume, made a few thousand units, and that are being manufactured and assembled here in Malaysia. So that policy continues. When we're talking about Ferraris and cars that are being sold on a very limited number, there's no sense to actually manufacture or assemble these cars in Malaysia. That's why, like I said before, the total AP volume is less than 30,000. And if we break it down according to the different manufacturers, the numbers are much less. To give you an example, the number of Honda CKDs alone in Malaysia in 2018 far surpassed the 30,000 mark in terms of volume. So, to say that this is something that would dissuade manufacturers from coming in is actually runs contrary to the numbers that we've seen in terms of most of the cars that are sold by foreign manufacturers here in Malaysia, actually CKD
That being said, that oft-quoted refrain was actually a repetition of comments made unsourced and unattributed by various heads of German marques that have been spoken to BFM in the past few years. I'm not going to say which is German marques, but I'm sure you can understand who. And also, just to quote a possible read across, Tesla, for example, have decided to set up headquarters in Singapore. Now, in an open market environment, Malaysia might have a stronger proposition than a country which does not have an EP policy.
Yeah, but for cars like Tesla, I think even in Singapore, the ultimate aim is not to sell within Singapore. The ultimate aim is actually to export those cars. To set up in Malaysia, I think that would also be the aim of any high-end car companies, not to sell within the mass market in Malaysia, but to export. And on the Tesla issue, even though we did not manage to get that particular investment directly, I think we can benefit from that investment in terms of the component parts that will likely be manufactured in Johor, because that's where much more cost competitive reasons are there to manufacture those component parts in Johor.
Okay, well, that all being said, thank you ever so much for taking our call at the very last minute and for clarifying some of those issues. I was talking to Deputy Minister of International Trade and Industry, YB Dr. Ong Kian Ming. Now, very interesting comments, very, I guess, commendable for the government to instantly respond to what is obviously a very contentious issue, Lynn and Sharitz. Plausible, not plausible? What do you guys think?
I don't know. I still think there's some questions, especially when the way he described it. I mean, this policy still sounds like it is a policy that favors the rich. For an example, I mean, providing AP just to bring down the price of luxury cars. I mean, these, why do you want to, have a policy that that gives benefit to the rich when the focus is B40, isn't it?
Yeah, for me, the standout comment was actually the fact that just 30,000 APs have been issued in the last few years. Malaysia's total industry volume is somewhere in the region of 600,000 cars. And I think the AP permit policy in the past has always been no more than 10% of industry TIV, which at current levels is about 60,000 cars. For 30,000 cars, it's only about 5 or 6%, as the good YB was saying. And I guess that is a good thing. And from a policy perspective, it's really one of those things that they try and do to appease all stakeholders. And of course, all stakeholders include the Bumiputra entrepreneur space.
I think it's going, it very much feels like it's going to be a case of trying to please everyone, but in the end, not really pleasing anyone at all. So I don't know how well this is. I still am not inclined to believe that the AP policy is going to have a positive impact on Malaysia's competitiveness as a whole.
Yeah, it's a roadmap. And of course, it's an ongoing debate that you know, the government and all stakeholders have to address. I think it's quite good that we can now have an open, fair and frank discussion with senior members of the government on this issue.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.